Thank you for joining us for another lesson from God's Word. The West Huntsville Church of Christ at Providence is located at 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Anytime you're in the Huntsville area, we hope you'll stop in and be part of our worship. Sunday morning worship is at 9 o'clock, with Bible class immediately following. Sunday evening worship is at 5. Midweek Bible study is held Wednesdays at 7.
The scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord."
It is great to be with you this morning and a blessing indeed to be able to worship God together. For those who are visiting with us, again, we are so glad that you are here, and we hope and trust that you will find a warm welcome here in this congregation. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord," Psalm 122 and verse 1. That psalm, Psalm 122, belongs to a collection of psalms known as the Psalms, or Songs, if you prefer, of Ascent. And they receive that moniker because as the Israelites every year would travel to Jerusalem, you recall that Jerusalem set up on a hill. It was elevated. And so as they would travel in caravan, making their way up to Jerusalem, ascending, if you will, to Jerusalem, they would sing these songs in order to prepare their minds and their hearts for the worship that they would undertake once they arrived. In fact, these Psalms of Ascent were intended to be songs of meditation that would help them to think about God as they prepared to worship Him. Another interesting note about Psalm 122 is that some have suggested that there is a progression of sorts with the two songs that come before it, Psalm 120 and 121. So in your mind's eye, if you can imagine in Psalm 120, this group of Israelites, as they are traveling to Jerusalem, making their way up to the city, that would be Psalm 120. If you can imagine then the worshipers, once they finally get the gates of Jerusalem in sight and they enter in, well, that's Psalm 121. And finally, in Psalm 122, not only have they arrived in Jerusalem, not only have they walked through her gates, but they are now prepared to enter into the temple and to worship God. And so I was glad when they said unto me, "Let us go into the house of our Lord." You know, as you study through the book of Psalms, it would be very difficult indeed not to be impressed with the overwhelming joy that is regularly associated with worshiping God. For example, "I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept a pilgrim feast." That's Psalm 42 and verse 4. "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth in song. Rejoice and sing praises." That's Psalm 98 and verse number 4. Psalm 100 in 5 verses emphasizes, among other things, the joy that is associated with worshiping God. "Make a joyful shout unto the Lord, all ye lands." Psalm 100 and verse 1. "Serve with gladness and come before His presence with singing, and know that the Lord, He is God. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise." Over and over again, the psalmist, they talk about worshiping God, and when they describe worshiping God, it is not with reservation. It is not with some depressed sort of tone or language. No, it is with the language and the heart of joy and enthusiasm because of the greatness of worshiping, the privilege that worship truly is. Now, this morning, what I would like for us to consider is how we can take ourselves and copy and paste ourselves into the sentiments of Psalm 122 and verse 1. Like the psalmist, and like the children of Israel, as they would prepare to enter into the temple to worship God, we should say, "I am glad for every opportunity to worship God. I am glad for the opportunity to enter into the house of the Lord and praise and honor His name." And here are some reasons why. Number one, We should be glad, we should rejoice in the ability to worship, because worship truly is a privilege. It's a privilege, and it's a privilege because there is a sense in which when we gather together like we have right here this morning and we worship God like we're doing right now, that we are entering into the presence of God. Worship is a privilege. Now, don't misunderstand. It's also true that worship is a command. John 4, verse 23 and 24. Remember, Jesus said to the woman at the well that God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. It is a command. Acts 20 and verse number 7 gives us an example of the first century church and how they would gather together on the first day of the week to worship God. And there is a pattern implicit within that passage that must be followed. So worship is a command. But it is also a privilege, because we have the ear of God. We have his attention. We get to come into his presence. Come before his presence with singing. That's Psalm 100 in verse number 2. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. That's Psalm 100 in verse 4. I will go into your house with thanksgiving. That's what the psalmist said to God in Psalm 66 and verse 13. Imagine, if you will, the privilege of being granted an audience before the King of England, or the President of the United States, if you prefer. Very, very few people are granted that privilege throughout life. And when they're granted that privilege, how do they prepare? Well, they think about the day. They plan for the day. They wear their nicest clothing. They make sure that their hair is done, and they've prepared themselves mentally. And when they enter into the presence of the king or the president or whomever the dignitary may be, they address them with a great deal of respect because they recognize the gravity and the privilege of the occasion. But how much more coming before the throne of our God? When I think about worship being a privilege, I can't help but think in my mind about the throne scene in Revelation chapter 4, how we have pictured for us, as John is granted the ability to glimpse into the heavenly realm, how we see God sitting on his throne, how he is surrounded with these professional worshipers who do not cease night and day saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." They recognize whom it is that they have come before, and they give him the honor that he deserves because of the privilege. Worship is a privilege, but notice this also, worship is a privilege that belongs exclusively to the children of God. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. Why should I say, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of God"? Because I recognize that I'm granted the ability, in a sense, to enter into the throne room of God. God, I have God's ear and I have his eye. His attention is upon me. It's upon us. And we're granted audience before him, and that special privilege belongs exclusively to his children. So when we talk about, for example, the actions of worship, we ought to say it in this way. When we gather to worship, we get to approach the throne of God in prayer. Not we have to. No, we're privileged to. We get to go before our God, and we get to reveal unto him, pour out unto him our hearts. We get to thank him, and we get to express unto him his honor and adoration and whatever it is that is weighing on our minds. We get to do that. And in Revelation 5 and verse 8, incidentally, we have this picture of those prayers that we get to pray coming up before our God as he sits on his throne as a sweet-smelling savor or incense, if you will. We are privileged to commune with our Lord and with one another. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16, Matthew 26 and 29. We are privileged to be able to hear a message from the Word of the Almighty God who has chosen to communicate with us. Have you ever stopped and thought about that? What kind of God would we serve if our God created us and then sort of existed, but then never really revealed anything to us about himself. What kind of life, what kind of existence would it be if we had a God who expected us to please and honor him, but he didn't tell us how to do it? Well, thankfully, we have a great God, a just God, a mighty and loving God, and he has spoken. He has revealed his heart and his mind to us, and we are privileged to be able to read it and hear it and know it and proclaim it. We get to give of our means to further his work. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2. We are privileged to be able to sing praises to his name and exalt him. Ephesians 5, and verse number 19. When we worship God, it's a privilege. It is an honor. It is something that we should never treat lightly and something which we should never take for granted. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It is a joy to worship because worship is a privilege, but also it's a joy to worship because when we engage in worship, we are able to give God what he deserves. We're able to give God what he deserves. Let me ask you a question. What is worship anyway? How do you define the term? Well, technically, the both Greek and Hebrew words basically have to do with prostrating oneself or bowing oneself down before a superior, to give homage to one who deserves it. But maybe the easiest way to remember what worship is and what it's all about is just to think about the word itself. Worship is worth-ship. It's worth-ship. That's what it is. When we worship God, we are simply expressing the greatness of the one who is worthy. Worship is what gives God the glory that is due his name. So write down some of these passages and think about some of these principles in God's word. When we worship God, brothers and sisters, we are glorifying him. Matthew 5 and verse 16. To glorify is to exalt. What a privilege it is. We are expressing awe in his presence. Psalm 33 and verse number 8. We are magnifying him. Psalm 35 and verse number 27. We honor him. Isaiah 29 and verse 13. We praise him. Luke 19 and verse 37. We exalt him. Psalm 18 and verse 46. We thank him. Luke 17 and verse 16. And to summarize all of that, you could write Hebrews 13 and verse 15, which tells us that we are to come before him offering the sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips regularly. Now think about that for a moment. When we worship God, it is a joyful thing indeed, not only because of the privilege of coming into his presence, but because we have the opportunity to give back to our God that which he deserves, the sacrifice of praise. Stop and think for a moment about worship as a sacrifice of praise. A sacrifice means that we're giving up something, does it not? It's giving something, yes, but it's also giving up something. It's giving of ourselves in some way. And in Deuteronomy 16 and verse 16, we have this precept that would be good here as a commentary where God told the men of Israel that when you come before me to worship me and offer your sacrifice, you do not come empty-handed. Why would you not come empty-handed? Well, because you're coming before God. You might think of another passage like the book of Malachi, chapter 1. Do you remember when God challenged the children of Israel because they were bringing the leftovers in their worship to him? And one of the things that God asked them in a rhetorical question was, look, when you go before your governor, when you go before the guy that collects taxes in your town or village, would you take to him the things that you're bringing to me? And the answer, of course, is, well, no, of course not. He deserves more than what I... Well, if you would take more to the tax collector or to the governor or the magistrate or whomever it may be, why would you think you could offer me any less? See, the reason why God said, do not come before me empty-handed, I know it. Maybe it sounds a little bit too simple, but to me it's just the right answer. The reason he said it is because we're approaching God. We're approaching the Creator. We're approaching the one who has made us, who provides for us, who has given us all that we need to live life spiritually and physically. Without him, well, we wouldn't be here. In him we live and move and we have our very being. So God said, do not come before me empty-handed. He deserves more. When I come to worship God, I better be careful to make sure that I'm not coming to God and I'm not praying to him and offering him an empty-handed sacrifice. Or an empty sacrifice in my songs or in the attention that I give whenever I hear the word of God proclaimed, or when we're observing the Lord's Supper or giving of our means or whatever the action of worship may be. In other words, God says, look, I'm not looking for an actual physical flesh and blood lamb or bull or turtle dove, but what I am looking for is your heart. I'm looking for your mind, your attitude. I'm looking for your energy. I want you to come before me as you exalt me, as you give me the sacrifice of praise, and I want you to do it in a way that gives me all that you have. Do not come before me empty-handed. And he deserves every bit of it. The Lord is great and greatly to be praised. Psalm 48 in verse 1. He's a God who loves and cares and provides and who sees and knows all. And he's merciful and he's long-suffering and he's gracious and he's so many other things. But for our purposes this morning, most importantly, he is worthy. I want you to look at one more passage with me on this point before we move on. Think about Psalm 103, just for a moment. And notice, as we come before God, we exalt and give him what he deserves because of who he is, because of all of his great characteristics. But think about this. The message of God's word is this. When we sing, how great thou art, that implies how great thou art to me. You see, all of those things that make God great, we also see how God, out of his greatness, blesses and benefits us. That's what Psalm 103 is about. Notice the psalm begins with an imperative. This is command language. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. This is command language. It's an imperative. Why should you bless the Lord? Why is it something that I have to do? Well, because of all of his benefits, verse 2. Well, what benefits? Well, that's the rest of the psalm. He forgives us and he heals us and he redeems us and he crowns us with loving kindness and he satisfies us. He's righteous and just toward us. He's revealed himself to us, verse 7. He's merciful and slow to anger, verse 8. He has dealt with us not according to our sins nor punished us according to our iniquities, verse 10. Bless the Lord. Give him the honor and glory that he deserves. And recognize also that we are the beneficiaries of that greatness. The joy of worship. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go before the into the house of God. The joy of worship. We worship God with joy because we worship God with joy because we recognize that it is a great privilege to be able to enter into the throne room of God and to give him what he deserves, but also because we get to do it together. We get to do it together. 1 John 5 and verse 19 says, we know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. May I ask, who is the we? We know that we are of God and the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. Well, who is the we? Well, he already told us in 1 John 1 and verse 3, that which we have seen and heard do we declare unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The we, of course, is talking about those who walk in the light and have fellowship with God and with one another. We're talking about Christians. We're talking about those of like precious faith. We are talking about the greatest people who exist in all the world. And listen, don't ever forget that. Anytime you walk into a room where Christians are found, you are in a room where the greatest human beings on planet Earth are gathered. That's it. It is a privilege and joy not only to be able to worship God, but to be able to do it with those of like precious faith who love God like we love God and who seek to serve God like we seek to serve God and who have a desire to build one another up and encourage and strengthen just like we do. That's why the Hebrews writer would say in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25 that one of the great privileges of worship is building one another up. You see, we have to remember that worship not only has a vertical component where our praise goes to God, but it has a horizontal component as well. Remember that we teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, Ephesians 5:19 and Colossians 3 and verse 16. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever noticed or at least thought about the fact that you may be having a terrible day? You may have had a terrible week. You may be at the end of your rope. But have you ever noticed that even in the middle of all of that, when you come to the church building and you're able to sit and worship God and be around God's people, that it just makes everything seem a little bit better? The weight seems to be just a little bit lighter, the load a little bit less, and life maybe not so complicated, maybe not so difficult, maybe not so overwhelming. Well, why does that happen? It's not just because we're able to worship God, although that's part of it. We're blessed in the act of worshiping, the privilege of worshiping God, partly because we get to do it with other people. And we get to encourage one another and strengthen one another and build one another up. Look, the church was together in the first century, Acts 2 and verse 44. With one mind and one mouth, Paul said, I want you to glorify God in sweet fellowship, Romans 15 and verse 6. There is this beautiful bond that we have as brothers and sisters in the body of Jesus Christ that the world just cannot understand. But I'm convinced that we do. And I'm convinced that God wants us to treasure that. And I think that we do. And we should continue to grow in our appreciation of it. Worship is a joyful thing, not just because we're able to enter into the throne room and give God what he deserves, but because we get to do it with other Christians. What a privilege. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of God. Worship really and truly is, or at least should be, the highlight of our week. Whatever else goes on, whatever good things happen, nothing should even come close to the greatness and the privilege and the joy of being able to worship God. We ought to not ever allow anything in this world, as mundane as it is, to challenge that time. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whenever the doors are open, whenever we're able to be with Christians to give God the glory he is due, we ought to do everything we can to be there. Because there's no greater privilege. There's no greater privilege than being able to worship God. So hopefully, with the same kind of excitement and enthusiasm, we can say every single time, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of God. Are you a Christian this morning? There is no better time than right now. If you are not a Christian, this is the time. You don't have any more time guaranteed after right now. The Lord doesn't guarantee time. That's not how it works. Our life is like a vapor. It's here today, it's gone tomorrow. That's the language of James chapter 4. So today is the day of salvation. Jesus says, you've got to believe that I am the Son of God, John 8 and 24. You have to repent of sins, Luke 13 and verse 3. You have to confess faith, Romans 10 verse 9 and 10. You have to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. And God says, when you do those things, I will add you to the church of my son. You'll be one of my children. That's Acts 2 and verse 47 and Ephesians 1 and verse 4 and 5. This morning, if you're a Christian, but you look at your life and say, you know what, it's not what it ought to be and I need to make some changes, we'll do it. Let us help you. Let us encourage you and pray for you. Come, let your need be known while we stand and while we sing.
We hope you have enjoyed this lesson from God's Word. If you would like to continue your study of New Testament Christianity, please send your name and address to World Bible School, West Huntsville Church of Christ, 1519 Old Monrovia Road, Northwest, Huntsville, Alabama, 35806. Or if you prefer, send your name and address by email to wbs@westhuntsville.org.